forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works Do.
Hello and welcome to Works Do. It's May 25th, 2011, and this is episode number 11. I'm Kate Gase Walton. I'm the editor of WorksDo.com, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. On the last show, I spoke with Erin Kane. Erin essentially has two jobs, her PR business and the very popular podcast, Manic Mommies, that she produces with her partner, Kristen Brandt. Erin views her PR work as her real job, and she sees the podcast as, above all, a labor of love. After speaking with Erin, I started to wonder if that's the key to finding real job satisfaction, taking on multiple jobs so that no one role has to meet all of our work-related needs. But then I talked to Nancy Slotnick. Nancy is a professional dating coach, and as such, she's someone who's turned what she most loves to do, helping people with their relationships, into a career. I'm not sure that everyone's passions lend themselves to viable business ventures, but that does seem to be the case with Nancy. Here's her story. So today I'm talking to Nancy Slotnick, who is the founder of a company called CabLite. Nancy, thank you for making the time to talk to me today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kate.
Now, I could try and describe what CabLite does based on your website, but I think it would be much better if you did that. So let's start with that. What is CabLite?
Sure. Well, I am in the business of helping people with their love life, so which is a really fun business to be in. And the name CabLite comes from the idea that New York City taxi cabs have the light that goes on to show they're available. And I believe when people are single and they're looking for the one, they have to be willing to show that they're available for people to find them. So they might feel like they're out there looking, but if they don't have their cab light on, then they're not going to attract anyone, or they're at least not going to attract the right ones.
Right. So the one sentence that caught my eye when I was reading up on your company is it said, we offer a range of services and products in the area of love life management. And that that boggles the mind. What is the range of services and products?
I had a feeling you were going to say that. Yeah. Well, I think that even the phrase love life management makes people kind of chuckle, because you think, well, you know, that it sounds too business-like to be talking about love. And I do try to be mindful of not approaching dates like job interviews or anything like that, because that does take the romance out of it. But there's something about the idea of being strategic about your personal life and your love life that has a stigma around it, which is unfortunate. Because, you know, I know you talk in your community a lot about work-life balance. And, you know, in work and in your career, it's completely acceptable to have a headhunter or a career consultant to, you know, think about strategy of a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. And then people don't do that with their love life so much. They think, oh, it just happens when you're not looking, and it happens when you least expect it. And I don't really believe that that's completely true. So I help people kind of take charge of their love life and make goals and set on a path to get what they want out of their love life.
So how did you come to this work? What was your path?
Oh, good question. Well, I used to actually be a headhunter when I first came out of college, and I enjoyed the idea, like the sort of psychological aspect of helping people think about their future. And I had actually at Harvard, I had studied that in social studies in my senior thesis about, you know, career and family. But I felt like I don't really want to talk about people's jobs all the time. You know, when I really get to know someone is when I hear about their love life. And that usually is the most important thing to someone's happiness. So that I felt like I want to be in the business of that. And so I did headhunting for about 5 years, and then left that, and felt like it was my calling to do this kind of work. I formed a company called Love Life Inc., and I didn't really know what that was going to mean yet, but I did. I ended up opening a cafe that had a dating service for our customers in 96, and that was how I got started in the love business, and we made tons of marriages, and I was single at the time, so, you know, that was a lot of fun for me, and I was kind of learning trial and error in my own life. And then once I met my husband and had seen so many people going through all the trials and tribulations of dating and relationships, I felt like, wow, I've really kind of learned something here that I can help people with. And that's when I started to develop Cabalight, and I wrote a book on the topic, and I started doing coaching. And so in terms of your question about products and services, the main service that I've been offering for the last number of years is coaching people about this particular topic. But I also do seminars, and I also do some matchmaking, and I'm also launching a Facebook matchmaking site.
Interesting. So what do you, when you think about kind of your day-to-day, what do you love most about what you do? What makes it different for you from when you were a corporate headhunter?
Okay. Well, I just love helping people with this particular topic because I feel like it's such a struggle, and I've sort of built up a wealth of knowledge about it that either not many people have or not many people share and talk about it. There's a little bit of shame around it, and people are so afraid of rejection that they don't open up very easily. So I love hearing people's stories, but I love particularly helping people change their life. When I sit down with a new client, I get what I call their dating resume. And it's basically like, you know, all their past relationships and dating experiences that have led them to where they are. And that you often see certain patterns. And it's not the same pattern for everyone, but somebody's story will fall into a pattern. And it's extremely hard to change those patterns if you keep having the same thing happen over and over again. And it really can make people miserable. I mean, loneliness is a real, you know, probably one of the worst diseases there are. So I feel like I try to help them cure the loneliness.
I'm and curious, it's are most satisfying. Of your clients women, or is there a split between women and men?
Yes, most of my clients are women, particularly because my flavor of advice and what my book was about was sort of based on my personal experience and a woman's perspective, and kind of spell it out for women who want to find the one and maybe have been focusing on their career too much, or, you know, haven't made a priority. So the advice, I do coach men too, but the advice is slightly inverted, and I just felt particularly skilled to be able to help women, but I do both, and I tend to really get the men's experience and translate that to women, because I had to learn it for myself. I only have sisters, and I didn't know anything about dating when I was single and first moved to New York, and so I feel like that's kind of my biggest value added. And plus, women love to talk about this topic, so the idea of hiring a coach to talk about these things if you're a woman is not as far-fetched as it is for some men. And men tend to think they want a matchmaker to solve it for them.
Right. Now, as far as I can tell from talking to different people about what they do, even jobs that they have a huge amount of passion for, work that they have a huge amount of passion for, everything has its frustrations and challenges. What are yours?
I guess maybe it's a good segue from what we were just talking about with men and with also women who aren't as ready to deal with this intensively. My biggest challenge is to reach wider audience. The coaching that I do one-on-one is very, very gratifying and very intensive, but not everyone can afford the time and money to do that. And what I've been always working on getting back to ever since Drip, which was my cafe, is how to kind of put things into a palatable nugget for a more of a mass audience. There was something about the cafe that just sort of spoke to what I had to show about dating and help more people. And so that's kind of what I've been working on with my Facebook site. But I think there's many, many people that could benefit from knowing about some of these things, but it's hard to, because there's a stigma around it, it can sometimes be hard to reach everyone if they don't know that it's what they need. There's sort of an embarrassment factor on getting advice on the topic in some ways.
Interesting. So you mentioned a stigma. Are there any other aspects about your work that you feel are sort of not as well understood by outsiders as you would like? What do you find yourself always struggling to get people to understand, whether it's your clients or, you know, the broader community?
So I think that it's this tension between the matchmaker versus the coach idea that, you know, that the problem is I just haven't met the right person, and that people think of it on more of a superficial level, that they don't know where to go and they don't have access to the people. And really, it's much more of an internal experience. Like, I don't know if you saw the King speech, but that really spoke to me in a similar way, because he was trying to deal with his speech impediment in terms of the mechanics of it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't solely a mechanical issue. There were a lot of psychological issues behind it. And that comes up all the time in dating. And I think people don't really recognize it. So they kind of come to you thinking they want you to solve it for them, but they really have to do the self-reflection in order to make significant change. And specifically that, you know, if, for example, I don't allow in my coaching program, I don't allow women to do male bashing, is what I call it. Like, well, you know, there are no good men out there. Why do men never call when they say they're going to call? And, you know, everyone's even either married or gay. And, you know, that kind of thinking just becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it doesn't really help you look at yourself to make change.
It's interesting. So you make a distinction between being a matchmaker and a coach, and that makes perfect sense. You've explained it really well. So do you not describe yourself as a matchmaker? Do you stay away from that?
I don't generally describe myself as a matchmaker, but, you know, as I was saying, what I'm doing on Facebook is sort of the matchmaking site. I will offer advice and tips too, but it's more of a community where people can help themselves out, and they still need to do the work themselves. So I don't promise to solve it for them, and I'm willing to call myself a matchmaker in order to kind of get people's attention, because that's, like I said, what people think they want, but they end up getting probably just as much or more out of the advice and the philosophy if they're, you know, if they are willing to take that in. But that's kind of just,
right,
you know, not the extra bonus. You know?
So before I let you go, I just now feel totally compelled to ask you how you met your husband.
Oh, good question. We actually met on the street, and I was completely, did take my own advice. Well, I had my cafe for about 3 years while I was single. And, you know, one of the reasons that I had set up the place was because necessity is the mother of invention. And I sort of figured some guy that would be right for me would just walk in, but it wasn't really happening. And so I kind of thought about it and did the self-reflection to say, well, I guess when I'm here at the cafe, I'm always working and I'm preoccupied and I'm not really focusing on putting my cab light on. So I set outside the cafe to look for someone, and I met him within 2 weeks of that decision, which was pretty cool. But I was at a party and kind of missed my chance. I saw him, and I flinched. And then later on that night, I saw him on the street, and he hadn't seen me at the party, but I thought, oh, I'm not going to miss my chance again. So I smiled, and he kept on walking. He was with a friend, but he sort of did the double take, so I knew I had an in, and then I kind of followed in that direction because, you know, I had nothing more important to do than follow a guy I liked. And then we started talking, and I guess, as they say, the rest is history.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and your interesting career path. I really appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time.
Well, thank you.
That wraps up the show for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Nancy Slotnick. Thanks also to everyone who's contributed an essay to Works Do. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. Because of my travel schedule, I've released a few episodes early. The next regularly scheduled episode is due out in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the show by sending an email to kate@worksdo.com, by posting a comment on the Works Do website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.